शुक्लां भरतरं विष्णुं शशिवर्मं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ We have seen up to the verse Yani Namani Gaunani Vikyatani Mahatmanaha, verse number 19. So actually only up to this verse we will see in the original Mahabharata. After this, straight away he goes into giving 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. So here, before we go to 1,000 names, you will find certain shlokas given which are called Lagu Jnasa and Jnasa. Jnasa means installation. Lagu Jnasa means in short form. So, immediately after this shloka, Yani Namani Gaunani, he gives few verses as Lagu Jnasa, and then he gives the real process of installation. After that, he gets on to visualization or meditation. And then, the 1,000 names are given. See, he has been saying that chanting of these 1,000 names, doing japa on these 1,000 names and doing worship while doing japa on these different names of the Lord, you will remove the samsara. That's what he's been saying. Right? So, whenever we want to remove the samsara, the root of samsara is the vasana. Now, if you want to remove the vasana, it has to be an integrated process of the body, mind, intellect, everything. So, kāyika, the body level, vāchika, the word level or the speech level, and mānasa, the mind level. At all these levels, there has to be proper integration and dedication towards the higher. Now you may be chanting physically, verbally, but mentally thinking of something else, it won't work. So, therefore, there has to be a perfect integration. So hence, before we proceed to chant or do japa on these names, we got to install the Lord in our personality. So, it's a bhav, it's an attitude. So, from head to toe, you cover yourself. It's like a kavach. So that you are protected. Anytime you get on to do any good work, it's not going to be entertaining to the mind. In the beginning, especially. Slowly over a period of time, the deeper joy that one experiences, then it's a different matter. At the beginning, it's not going to be entertained. So, there may be distractions from outside and within, both. So, one needs a lot of protection. So, there you prepare the Lord, you install the Lord in your personality, and then mentally you visualize the Lord, and then proceed to do the japa. Now this way when you do, there is a proper integration. So, therefore he gives this nyasam and jnanam before giving 1,000 names. So the last shloka we saw was, Yani namani gaunani vikyatani mahatmanaha vishidit parijitani tani vakshyami bhutaye. I shall declare this 1,000 names for the good of all, for the welfare of all beings. By chanting these 1,000 names and keeping the mind constantly dwelling upon the various aspects of the Lord, one becomes free from the samsara. Therefore, he says, those famous names of the great soul, which bring out his manifold qualities, celebrated by rishis. Rishibhi parigitani. Various rishis have celebrated, and there those names I shall declare for the good of all beings, welfare of all beings. Tani vakshami bhutaye. Next verse. Rishir nam nam sahasrasya vedavyaso mahamunihi chando nushtuptata devaha bhagavan devaki sutaha. Rishir nam nam sahasrasya vedavyaso mahamunihi chando nushtuptata devaha bhagavan devaki sutaha. Rishi Namnam Sahasrasya Vedavyaso Mahamunihi. The Rishi of the thousand names is Vedavyasa. These thousand names, though given by Bhishma is giving the names to Yudhishthira, but the Rishi is Vedavyasa. He is the one who's codified this and giving it to us. So for every shloka and mantra, each shloka mantra has different rishis. Rishi, as I told you, comes from the root rish, which means to know. Rishis are those who received these mantras in meditative states. For example, Gayatri mantra was received by Vishwamitra. So the rishi for Gayatri mantra is Vishwamitra. So for this thousand names, who is the rishi? He says, the rishi of the thousand names is Vedavyasa. Rishihi namnam sahasrasya. Vedavyaso mahamunihi. Chando nushtup tata devaha. So, the anushtup chanda, it is this whole Vishnu Sahasra Nama. The meter for that is chandas. Chandas is the meter. So chando nushtup tata devaha bhagavan devaki sutaha. And the devata is devaki suta. It is Sri Krishna, who is the avatar of Mahavishnu, Lord Narayana. So the rishi of the thousand names is Vedavyasa, the great contemplative sage. The meter is Anushtup, and the deity is the blessed son of Devaki. So, if you see this meter that he talks about, Anushtup Chandaha, the verses in the Vishnu Sahasranama will have four pantis, and each panti will have four letters. Eight letters. 8 into 4, 32. So, this is the way it is arranged, the meter. The meter is also considered and worshipped as a devata. So, for every mantra, there will be rishi, there will be chandas, and there will be devata. So, before you do the real chanting, you should actually worship the rishi, worship the chandas, and worship the devata and get on. That's the procedure. So that's what he says here. Rishir namnam sahasrasya vedavyaso bahamunihi chando nushtup tata devaha bhagavan devaki sutaha. So, Vedavyasa is the muni. Now,
Guru, yes. Guruji, what do you mean by chandas? What rishi
meter,
chandas?
Meter. The chanting has a meter, no? Particular meter. That's the meter. The chandas here is Anushtup chandas.
Okay.
The way it is arranged, no, that's called the meter. Like when we chant Bhagavad Gita, there is a particular meter in which we chant. You know? So like that. Here also there is this meter called chandas. So Rishir Namnam Sahasrasya Vedavyasu Mahamunihi Chando Nushruptata Devaha Bhagavan Devaki Sutaha. In fact, when you do the installation, since the elaborate installation process is being discussed within after a few verses, I'm not getting into the details. I will talk about how the installation actually is done. Next verse. Amrutam Sudbhavo Bijam Shakti Devaki Nandanaha Visa Mahada Yantasya Shantyarthe Viniyujyate Amrutam Sudbhavo Bijam Shakti Devaki Nandanaha Visa Mahada Yantasya Shantyarthe Viniyujyate. The seed is he who was born in the lunar ways. Its power is the name, the son of Devaki. Devaki Nandanaha. Devaki Nandana is the name of Shri Krishna. The son of Devaki is Shri Krishna. The heart is the one who is lauded by the Trisama hymns. The purpose of its use is the attainment of peace. See, the whole reason for which this entire Vishnu Sahasra Nama is being chanted is to attain that inner self. When he says attainment of peace, the peace comes only when you attain the self. So, the ultimate goal is to get back to the self, nothing else. And the seed, Bijam, he says, Bija Mantra, is he was born in the lunar rays, Vishnu. Its power is the name, the son of Devaki. The power of this mantra is the Lord himself. And the heart is the Trisama. Now all this Trisama, all these are coming in the thousand names. So when it comes there, I will talk about it. The Hridayam, the core is Trisama. All this is being mentioned in the thousand names. In that portion, I will talk about this. And Shantyarthe Viniyujyate. This is what is more important in this particular line. Shantyarthe Viniyujyate. All the karmas should be dissolved. All your karmas should be removed. Then only the Shanti will be there. As long as we continue to have vasanas, there won't be Shanti in our life. We think the outside factors are disturbing us. The outside factors does not disturb you. What disturbs you is the vasanas. Our reactions are too many because our vasanas are too many. The vasanas are not there. There won't be any reactions whatsoever. Therefore, Shantyarthe Viniyujyate. It is being given for the purpose of attaining the self. Nothing else. There is a line where he will talk about Amurtam Sudbhava. That is the Bijam. All this will come in the thousand names. Therefore, I am not getting into the details of it. Shakti. Every mantra has its Shakti. And the Shakti is Devaki Nandanaha. Trisama Hridayam Tasya. So the center core is Trisama. Praised by the Trisama. Samaveda. Santyarte Viniyujyate. It is given for the purpose of attainment of the self. Vishnum Jishnum Mahavishnum Prava Vishnum Maheshwaram Anekarupa Daityantam Namami Purushottamam Vishnum Jishnum Mahavishnum Prava Vishnum Maheshwaram Anekarupa Daityantam Namami Purushottamam. Vishnu. Vishnu means all pervading reality. Om Vishnum Jishnum. Jishnum means the conqueror. One who is conquered everything. Jishnu. Vishnu. Jishnu. Mahavishnu. Great Vishnu. Mahavishnu means who pervades the entire universe. Prabha Vishnu. Prakrishena Bhavati. That's called Prabha. Prabha Vishnu means that one has become multifold. So he not only pervades the whole thing, he's also become everything. Even though he's become everything, he's Maheshwaram. Maheshwaram means the Lord. See, remember, whenever we say Lord, great Lord, who will you call as Lord? One who cannot be controlled by anything, and one who controls everything is called the Lord. So Vishnu, Jishnu, Mahavishnu, Prabhavishnu, Maheshwaram. These are all words praising the Lord. Aneka Rupa Daityantam. To him of many forms, one which has become many. Therefore, all the forms are nothing but Mahavishnu only. And he is Daitya Antam. Daitya Antam means one who destroys the demons. Namami Purushottamam. To the Supreme Person, I bow down. So, here he is prostrating to Mahavishnu and then gets on to do the proper installation process. Before doing the proper installation process, he just did the Lagudnyasam, short form, and then he goes into proper installation later on. So Vishnu, Jishnu, Jishnu means conqueror, one who has conquered the mind. Atma is beyond the mind, so therefore Jishnu. Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu, the great all-pervading reality, and it is Prabhavishnu because it has become the multifold being. Even though it's become the multifold being, it always remains as the Lord. Therefore, Maheshwaram. Aneka Rupa Daityantam. Aneka Rupa means it's become all the forms and it destroys all the Daityas, the demonic Vasanas. See, in the Shastras, when they talk about demons, though they give a they personify and then give stories and all that. As far as you are concerned, symbolically, you need to understand demon means desires. Please understand. There is no demon sitting outside. The demons are nothing but your desires. Your problem. Desire and its modifications are the problem. What are the modifications of the desire? The moment you have kama, then you have krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, delusion, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, arrogance, matsarya, jealousy, envy, bhaya, fear. All these are modifications of desires and all these are the demons. There is a beautiful poem called The Pond. In that poem, the young chick wanted to go and play with ducklings. And the ducklings used to play around a pond. The mother of the chick had cautioned the chick, you can go and play with the ducklings, but don't enter the pond when they enter. And the chick said, okay, and went. As they were playing, suddenly the ducks will go inside the pond, swim and come out. Seeing this, the chick also wanted to jump. But then it was reminded of the mother's caution. So it says, why should I not swim? Started reasoning. The chicken's intellect. My feet, first thing it analyzes is feet. My feet, actually the reason the chick cannot swim is because the chick doesn't have webbed feet. Even though it analyzes the feet, it misses the point. My feet, my this, my that, everything is analyzed. Then finally it says, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be round? That's not the reason. Then it makes one statement. That's the beautiful statement. It says, I am really remarkably fond of water. The moment it saw, the chick saw, when she saw the pool of water, she developed desire. I am really remarkably fond of water. And saying that, jumped into the pond and started sinking. The more she tried to come out, the more she went down, finally perished. So what this story is trying to tell us, you should mind the parent. Parent here is the Shastra. The Shastras caution us against the desires. The problem is we have the desire, but we keep on blaming the world. A desire, then it's not under our control. It goes through various modifications. Becomes greed, jealousy, anger, fear, all these kind of modifications. And any of this you have, you will perish. It's a question of time. People have all kinds of intelligence. They even know how to launch a rocket. People know how to set up a business. You know, nowadays they have these startups. Young fellows, they're really smart. They get on with a startup. They really take the business to a certain height. But they don't know how to control their greed, control their fear, control their temper, anger. And that becomes their problem. That destroys them. That finishes them. So, demon means desires. In our Shastra, they call it Asura. In Buddhism, they call it Mara. In Islam, they call it Shaitan. In Christianity, they call it Satan. Satan, Shaitan, Mara, Asura, all means demons. Rakshasas, which is nothing but your own desire. Your own desire. Duryodhana could not see Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, all of them enjoying. He had this problem of jealousy. Otherwise, in fact, in wielding the weapon mace, Duryodhana was a more skillful person than Bhima. And Duryodhana was also a good administrator. He is a good Kshatriya. Good Kshatriya in the sense, he had the capacity. But his jealousy finished him off. So, Ravana was finished because of his lust, desire. So, Daitya Antam, the more and more we do japa on Mahavishnu, when the awareness intensifies, the desires reduce. The desires go down. I have mentioned this many times before in the class. The reason stuffs like alcohol are all being cautioned in scriptures, told not to contact them, etc., if at all, is because they rob your awareness. When your awareness is robbed, you give it to a desire. See, everybody has desires. Who doesn't have greed? Who doesn't have desire? Everybody has desire. But you should keep them under control. So don't keep them under control, they destroy you. This is the problem. Desires are good, but you got to keep them under control. See, like vehicles, or for the matter, aircraft, if you have to become a pilot, you got to learn, gain license, then, be a co-pilot and then become the main pilot. Similarly, if you want to drive car, you've got to be taught how to drive, how to bring the vehicle under your control. It's very tough. You just press the accelerator, it zooms. So you should know how to control that. So, the desires inside, we are like that. We have that. But now what is happening is everybody's pressing the accelerator and going full speed, not knowing how to control our life. And that's exactly what the Shastras teach. It's exactly like driving practice or teaching. How to drive yourself in life. That's what it is. So, So he says, Aneka Rupa Daitya Antam. Finishes off all the demons. To that Vishnu, Namaskar, Namami, Purusha Uttamam, Purusha Uttamam, Uttama Purusha. So when I do Namaskar, what it means is, I surrender to that superior force so that I allow the grace of the superior force to go into me. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, Sri Krishna beautifully says, it is impossible to overcome the Maya without my blessings, my grace. What he means by that is, I already explained to you, remember this fundamental. Brahman Nirguna has no attributes, no nothing. Brahman means only Brahman is there, no gunas, nothing. In that Brahman, the Shakti Maya is potential inherent in that Brahman. So now when you talk about Maya Sahita Brahman, Brahman with Maya, there is another name we give to it. It's called Ishvara. And Ishvara controls Maya. Maya cannot control Ishvara. Controlling the Maya, Ishvara takes the forms as and when required to establish Dharma. This is what he said in fourth chapter. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sridamya paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yudhi. So whenever adharma takes over, dharma declines, I manifest animating my prakriti. And for what purpose I animate? Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect the rishis. Vinashaya cha dushkritam, to destroy the rajasic and tamasic people. Dushkrite, vinashaya cha dushkritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish the order. Sambhavami yuge yuge, as and when required I come back. So Ishvara controls Maya and as and when required manifests. Whereas we are all manifestations of the Maya element by the Ishvara. So we are all coming under the sway of Maya, controlled by Maya. So, if you want to overcome Maya, you need to surrender a superior force to Maya. Okay. Like, in the politics, if you see, now India is there, Pakistan is there, constantly some fight or the other happens between the two countries. And each one is aligned with some other bigger force. India is with America, Pakistan is with China, etc. Some bigger force. So that there is some support. So, to be able to overcome the Maya, which is more powerful than us, we need to surrender to something even more powerful than Maya. That is Vishnu or Ishvara. That Ishvara is what is worshipped here as Vishnu. Therefore, he says, to that Supreme Being, I bow down. Because only when you surrender to that ultimate the self, can you overcome the desires and cross over the samsaric cycle? Otherwise, not possible. So, therefore, he says, I surrender to that supreme Purusha, supreme being. So, remember this example given by Swami Chinmayananda ji to explain this, what I explained to you just now. about the Ishvara being superior to Maya and we being inferior to Maya. The manifested beings are inferior to Maya. Ishvara is superior to Maya. He can control the Maya and manifest. Even when he is manifested, he still doesn't come under the sway of Maya. He can control it. Maya is in his inherent Shakti. Now, Swami Chinnamaji gives a beautiful example. He says, once a small tent thief, pickpocket, a fellow was caught by police, two policemen are escorting him, taking him to the police station. And one boy was walking with his father on the road. He saw this and said, "Dad, what's happening there?" Then the father said, "The small time thief is caught by the police and is taken to the police station. Police are controlling him." After some time on the road, the president of the country is going with so many policemen in front and behind of his car. Behind his car, so many police vehicles. Ahead of his car, so many police vehicles. So he says, "Dad, look, bigger thief is going," he says. For which the father says, no. "He is the president of this country, don't talk like that. Here also, there are police." So he says, "How do you mean, what do you mean by saying he's president?" "In that case, policemen were controlling him. In this case, he controls the policeman." So similarly, we all come under the category of people who are controlled by the power of Maya. Gunas. Gunas manifest from Maya. So sattva, rajas, tamas binds us. So it becomes extremely important for us to have a higher vision, higher goal, higher purpose, higher direction in life. When you do not have a higher purpose or a goal in life, you fall for the gunas. Easy. That's why they say, idle mind is a devil's workshop. Idle mind is a devil's workshop means what? When you are idle, your sattva, rajas, tamas takes over. Mostly tamas and rajas takes over. And you will be governed by tamas and rajas. And you will do activities that will destroy you. So therefore, the way to rise, the way to evolve is to identify with a higher purpose, higher goal. See, majority of the people in the world, they have no purpose at all. They have no purpose. So what happens is, you fight with the other fellows. Life is more like javelin throw or golf. Even though you are playing with others, they are also throwing, you are also throwing. It really doesn't matter what that fellow did. How much he threw, it doesn't matter. If you throw 0.01 meters more than that fellow, you win. Little bit more than that fellow, you will win. So you don't even have to worry. You just go and throw. You don't compare yourself with other people. You know, unnecessary comparison. Oh, they are doing like this. Yeah. Why you want to do all that? This is the mind. And this mind has no direction, no goal. So, if you are following Vedanta lifestyle, you pitch a goal which is beyond your selfish, self-centered interest, you pursue that. The Lilliputians are so busy trying to tie the Gulliver. He was asleep. When he woke up, he just stretched his arms, everything disconnected. all knots snapped. So you don't worry, let the Lilliputs go on tying. You simply keep walking ahead towards the higher. So Namami, when he says you have a goal, here it's Vishnu. I am explaining how the whole thing works. If you function like this, you will not have agitation. It's like horses having blinkers on. But the mind wants entertainment. So it's doing what that fellow is doing, what the neighbor is doing. Oh, he's got a new car. Is this year? We bought the new car 4 years ago. We haven't bought anything. Now you create one samsara unnecessarily. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. So the moment you are given a purpose, daitya antam. You understand? Your mind doesn't go into that draining mode. In fact, majority of our life goes in draining our energy. Get up, drain energy, fall off to sleep, get up, again drain energy, fall off to sleep. This is how we are living. If you are doing the right action, you will be generating energy. When the sunlight is focused on a piece of paper through a lens, it burns the paper. So much of energy is sent with tremendous focus. So this is what he is saying here. When he said, Namami Purushottama. If you just look at it, devotionally it's different. He just says, bow down. Okay, let's get on to next verse. But there is a lot of meaning here. So when he says, Namami Purushottama. So at whatever level you are, you should ask this question, what is the next level? What is the next level? And keep identifying with that and moving. Give a direction. And the highest is Atma, the self, Brahman. You fix that goal, you will see the desires and everything gets disciplined. When the desires are disciplined, it becomes aim, or an ambition, or a purpose, or a goal. Your energy has become beautifully channelized. All your energy has become beautifully channelized. Otherwise, your energies get drained. That's why, as we grow, we lack energy because we don't have a sense of purpose in that. Maximum purpose is what? Hoard wealth when you are young. And when you are about 40, 45, retire, enjoy. People think this is how we should live. We have nothing against or for. But that is one way of living. The other is constantly generating energy and moving on in life. That is the way of life that Vedanta talks about. He says, Namami Purushottamam Daityantam. When I do namaskar to that Uttama Purusha, the higher goal, when I have my life which is disciplined, I dedicate my body, my intellect for that Purusha, Uttama. See, Namami Purushottamam doesn't mean you just verbally say Namami Purushottamam. When you say Namami Purushottamam, when the lips are saying that, your body should be in Sashtanga Namaskara to Vishnu. And mind should be surrendering to that Vishnu. The small circle should be in alignment with the big circle. That's called Nama. Which means what? Thy will be done, not my will be done. whenever you function as my will be done, it's the way of the demons. What is the way of the demons? Ravana wanted something, he asked to get it by hook or crook. Duryodhana wanted something by hook or crook, he wanted to get. He will try. This is called the path of demons. What is the path of good people, Suraganaha? What is the path? The path of Devas. The path of Devas is Dharma. The moment I understand that this is not the way I will get it, this is not for me, I have not paid for it, it belongs to somebody else's, I don't try to take it. That is the path of the demon. A demon will say, it doesn't matter, maybe belonging to them. So what? I'm interested, let me take it. So that kind of activities will stop the moment you get a purpose in mind. Purushottamam. So the mind surrenders to the goal, intellect is switching up the goal, mind surrenders to the goal, the body acts towards that goal. So that's what he's saying. Vishnum, Jishnum, Mahavishnum, Prabhavishnum, Maheshwara. So when I surrender, what happens is, it's like iron ball put in a furnace. The solid matter completely melts and becomes fire. Similarly, this ego completely dissolves and becomes one with Paramatma. The way when I lead dharmic life, I ultimately become Mahavishnu. Sayujya. Sayujya means what? Inhabiting the same union with the self. Becoming one with the self. It's called Sayujya. So, you can inhabit the same land. See, when the sun is coming from abroad after his studies, after 3-4 years, he's coming back. You are going to the airport, right? Delhi airport. Now, when he lands, when you know that the flight is landed, there's a kind of joy. The sun's flight is landed. Why? Because he's come to the same land in which you are living. Then you see him as he's walking and coming. You're seeing his form. Your excitement is increasing even more. And when he comes closer to you and you hug him, Sayujya, become one. Sa loka, sa mipa, sa rupa, sayujya. These four words you remember. Sa loka means same world. Sa mipa means near. Samipa, near. And sa rupa means seeing the form. Sayujya means becoming one. So when his flight lands, sa loka. Then samipa, you are seeing him through the glass at the distance. And then his form is becoming more and more clear to you as he walks in closer to you. Sa rupa. And then you hug him. Union is complete. Sayujya. So anybody who surrenders to the higher end functions, dharmically, It's a question of time. They will develop vairagya and pursue jnana and realize the self and attain oneness with Brahma. So that's why they say, if you take one step, he will take seven steps. But the first step you got to take. First step you got to take. The moment you have turned towards the self, it becomes his obligation to suck you into it. He is just waiting, it seems, to suck you. Unfortunately, you have turned your vision towards the material world. So therefore he says that Vishnu, who is the great conqueror of everything, especially the conqueror of the mind, that great Vishnu, I surrender. And when I surrender to the great Vishnu, the all-pervading reality, I work in this world adhering to dharma. When I work adhering to dharma, my desires slowly drop. As I become more and more purified, I get rid of the samsara. Therefore, I bow down to Supreme Purusha. If I bow down to the material world, what happens? The desires only increase. The desires increase. The desires goes on increasing. How much ever you get, it's not enough. Something or the other, the mind will say. And then you still want more, more, more. You won't be happy. So many times your intellect doesn't work and you get caught, and after about 20-30 years later, when you look back and see, say, my God, I should have not gotten involved in that. It is such a stupid thing, but since I got involved, it took me 10 years to recover. Small disputes because of desire. Desire is the one which kills the time. Remember this. How many times I've seen this? When you go in Delhi anywhere, there's some huge big house in litigation. For, I'm living now for 15 years, I've been seeing in one place. Must be two or three siblings. I will never settle. Impossible. The desires are such that they will say, if I lose one eye, I will see to it that the other fellow loses too. Simply look into your goal and proceed. It's not worth it. But no. You cannot do. It cannot. It's impossible. You cannot talk sense to me. Because of the desire. You are wasting your time. 10 years. No, doesn't matter. Ego will say, no, I will show. I will win. And what have you won? You finally lost. See, this is different. Immediately one fellow, when I was talking like this, one fellow said, sir, what is happening in Mahabharata? Arjuna was told by Sri Krishna, fight and get it. Now, we are not saying this is different, that is different. What I am trying to say is, you entangle because of desire. That I am talking about. If you have that kind of objectivity, you are not in it because desire is propelling, then it's fine. But 99% is all desire propelling. They won't see it because desire is clouding. How will you see? You will not see. Between countries, forget people. Between countries. If you go and see that small piece of land, I'm not saying surrender it. But just, it's only human being who has this kind of greed. Unbelievable. He, as it is, converted this universe into as if it's created only for human beings. All animals and everything has been, made sure that it's become extinct. So, God knows where we are heading. Somewhere I read one article, they say now in Singapore or somewhere, through this scientific process, now they produce chicken legs. So you don't have to have chicken being slaughtered. Now it's all produced genetically. God knows where the whole thing is going. So slowly, slowly, if you think, the science which should help us to grow is actually destroying us. This is the problem. See, knife can help you to cut the opponent or cut yourself, to destroy the enemies and establish dharma, or to create havoc by killing good people and everybody. The same thing with science also. If the science is in the hands of people who have values, it's good. But the moment it goes into the people who has no values, it's a problem. It's a very big problem. That's what is happening today in the world. Because nowhere it is taught to control your greed, anger, jealousy, arrogance. Nowhere it is taught. Nobody is taught that these things have to be controlled. Or even if they are told how to do it, nobody knows. It's only by surrendering to the higher will you be able to do this with the lower. Therefore, he says, to the Supreme Person I bow down, the destroyer of demons within. What are they teaching now? The moment you get COVID, they say 14 days quarantine. Immediately. Why? You have the virus. If you go out, you will spread the virus. So you've got to quarantine. So if you have the desire, it's a virus. You don't see the desire as virus. Do we see attachment as a virus? We don't see attachment as a virus. That's why Swamiji wrote this book called The Holocaust of Attachment. He says attachment is killing people left, right and center. Nobody bothers. But COVID, we are worried. You're worried about tuberculosis. You're worried about HIV. You're worried about all these viruses. But what about this virus called attachment? You don't worry about the virus called attachment. Virus called attachment is devastating even more. But you will not bother about it because you don't look at it as a demon sitting inside. That's what he says. Namami purushottamam daityantam. So I want to put an end to this. If you are determined to put an end to this, then you must bow down to the higher order. You must come under dharmic living. Thy will be done, not my will be done. In the Bhagavad Gita also we studied, no? Bigger circle and the smaller circle. The smaller circle is within the bigger circle. Big circle is not in small circle. Small circle is in big circle. You have to align your ego with the dharma. But the moment I say my will have to be fulfilled, and then accordingly I twist and torture the laws and do everything, then you become a problem to the society and to yourself. This is the thing. So therefore, to put an end to that demon in you, you got to put in effort to awaken the Vishnu in you. Both are there within us. The Atma is our inner core. Mind is an equipment. If the mind is not controlled, it starts taking over. So you got to control the mind and allow the Atma from within to awaken. And when we do this, and when we have sufficiently succeeded in that, then the desires will always be guided by the intellect and conscience. Then you can never commit sin. Then you can never commit sin. This is the whole idea. So imagine, it's like, you know, you may want to go fast, but in the context, if you will not be able to go fast because of certain rules and regulations, you will adhere to that. You are not the only one who is living in this world. So this is what, as a king, when Yudhishthira has become the king, he is being taught these things because you understand you may be king of this country, but you are also a small circle. You are also a small circle. You got to, you know, surrender to that higher goal. See, every king has in his hand, he has a scepter. What does the scepter indicate? Anybody? What does the scepter indicate?
Control over, control, basically control.
It indicates dharma. The day he fails to uphold dharma, he ceases to be the king. This is how originally the whole thing started. Later on it became differently. That's a different matter. Because they had power, they forgot about dharma and everything. That's a different matter. There are stories in our own country where when a king by mistake gave a wrong judgment, when he came to know that he gave a wrong judgment, even though by mistake or whatever, instantly he died. Means that's the level of, that's the standard that they set those days. So the scepter in hand means dharma. However influential the person may be, but if, you know, he is done wrong, he needs to be punished. The other person may be ordinary guy who has no influence whatsoever, but he is right. He needs to be protected. That's the job of the king. So, even the king of a land should bow down to Mahavishnu. Dharma. Vishnu means dharma. Remember that. Because Ishvara means law. How is this whole universe governed? It's governed by laws only. Just imagine, all these planets are maintaining proper distance. Otherwise, what will happen? Who's behind all this? The laws are controlling it. So therefore, when you say Vishnu, the law itself is Vishnu. Dharma is Vishnu. So when he says, I bow down to the Supreme Person, means you bow down to the Supreme Person every day morning, you do Vishnu Dharma, and then you go do everything adharmic. No. Have a goal, have a higher vision, surrender to that, and then function. Even the king, if the king stops adhering to dharma, he cannot be peaceful. It's not possible. See, today also so many people talk about, so what is this corona? So many human beings are dying. This is happening. That is happening. Huh? The atrocity of human beings across the globe. Nobody bothered all these days. We have taken over the planet as if we have the full right over it. The kind of atrocities people do to animals, impossible. It's too much. You know, there are certain videos. If you watch it, you cannot sleep for 2-3 days properly. Inhuman ways, behavior against all the other species, whether it is animals or plants, just want to take away the whole thing if possible. See, in the government of India, or for the matter any government, they have fisheries department. So the fishermen have to survive by fishing only. So they are living there. So for their survival, they have to fish. Even there, they are told, you have to use only these kind of nets. Only this is how you should do fishing. But some of them, they use, I forget the name of that particular equipment they use. They use that, they can get a lot more fishes. And then what will happen is the other fellows will not get fish. Other fishermen. And there has to be dharma there also. So this department has to make sure, that there again dharma is protected. Everywhere, when dharma is lost, there will be chaos. So I bow down to that dharma, that order. So whenever, whatever I may be, whichever position I may be in, I should understand dharma is above me. Dharma is above me. To that dharma, I bow down. That's what it means. When I bow down to that dharma, then the daityas, the desires in me, they are disciplined and controlled. If the desires are given a direction, it becomes aim, ambition, goal, purpose. If not, it becomes greed, jealousy, anger, destroys. So what destroys us is our own desire, nothing outside. Nobody from outside destroys us. So this Namami Purushottamam, this Namami word you will see very often, Nama. The moment you say Nama, it's a way of life. Namaskar, you say in India, Namaskar. What? I bow down to the Atma in you, you bow down to the Atma in me. That's what Namaskar means. I bow down to the Atma or Brahman, which is manifested in this universe as Dharma. So the Swarupa of the Lord is Dharma itself. So if you say you are a Bhakta of the Lord, the proof of that is when you follow the Dharma. You say all sorts of things and then no Dharma you adhere to, then you are not a Bhakta. So with that I'll stop today. If you have any questions, please ask.
So, may I ask?
Yes, Amiji.
Oh, this is the one to ask. Sorry.
No, what is wrong?
But when we go into our inner selves, we ask ourselves about a lot of things that you've done which were right or wrong in the past, present, also when you think of the future. There is always a little bit of selfish interest for our own growth. Right? Is that?
So, the interest to grow is not selfish. Interest to grow at the cost of others is selfish. The purpose of life is to grow. In fact, one of the secrets of life itself is to grow. No, nobody is here to be stunted. See, in the name of art, this, what do you call that? Forgetting the name. Trees, they cut the roots.
Bonsai.
You are going on cutting the roots, stunting its growth and calling it art. What is this art? I don't understand. Art means to grow. Art is not cutting and stunting the... If somebody goes on cutting your freedom, don't allow you to grow, what kind of nonsensic parent are they? Or adults are they? So, to grow is life. To grow is your right. You must grow. But to think I will grow at the cost of others, that is wrong.
No, so I was trying to say that I have maybe become 65 years of age and that experience has helped me negatively, positively, whatever. So to see that our grandkids or our kids don't repeat those things, is it good to guide them? Because they do not like being told, one. Because they feel that, okay, we know what we are doing. The standard story. I don't live with any of them, but when I meet them, when I see, when I hear, automatically that instinct takes over. And then you want to tell them, oh, you know what? I went through this. Don't do it. Like you said, when you think back, it's going to tell you that, oh, I wasted my time doing all that. But so should you let them experience it themselves? Or is it a good idea to puncture their activity and say that, you know what, beware, or say that, is it good to guide or not?
See,
because that creates conflict, and should one go through that?
No, it's a correct question. You should guide, but how to guide is the question. In the Bhagavad Gita verse 21 chapter 3, he says, yadyad acharati shreshtaha tattat eva itarajana sayat pramanam purute lokastat anuvartate. Whatever the leader does, that the followers will follow. Not what the leader says.
No, that I agree.
So, the best way to guide is by living the knowledge and making it attractive. Not give pravachan, first of all.
That of course.
So, the moment you give pravachan, oh my God, this fellow has come again. You understand? So,
okay, my battery is running out.
So don't, give pravachan. Just live the knowledge, make it attractive. Indirectly guide them here and there. Then you see that there is an opportunity. You can slide it in a little bit in dosage. After following all this, after you live the knowledge, after you made it attractive, and after making sure you've given them indirectly in many ways, and then when need be, if an opportunity comes, little bit dosage in passing, put it in.
Okay.
Then they will take it. In fact, then they would like to come to you to take your advice. Because you are not forcing them.
And in a relationship, if you're seeing something different from what you think is right, you have to let it be, because you feel that, oh, this is not... Is it wrong to think that, oh, you've lived this and you've crossed this and now you're above this?
No, it's not wrong to think, but as a result of that, you think you're somebody supreme. That superiority complex is wrong. See, what we need to understand is, I've said this before also, supposing you are a better painter than me and you know that you're a better painter than me, there's nothing wrong in knowing that you're a better painter than me. Oh, just because you think you are a better painter than me, that means it's not ego. But just you know the fact, it's a fact that you can paint better than me. So you know that, what's wrong in that? But because of that you think you are superior, then that is wrong.
Not superior. So you let that pass and let that pass.
Depends. Depends on the situation. At all situations, I let that pass without getting involved. But if there are certain times I need to intervene and do something, depends on my role. What's my role? I can't let it pass. You are the teacher of the class, let's say. And then I've also been indisciplined. I've gone through all these things. Now the children are indisciplined. I let that pass. No. You have to interfere and say, excuse me, children, behave. But at the same time, you understand, I've also been school children once upon a time. So I know, you know, they also need to have fun. So you've got to balance it accordingly. Depends on the role. I can't say I will let it pass and then turn a blind eye. No, you can't do that. Depends what your role. But internally, you should be above that. You also get involved and then you are fighting with your children. Then you better renounce your teacher position and join the school and study again. The role is to set it right. You can't say let it pass. You've got to set it right. But without getting involved.
Thank you. But won't that be also age related or relationship related, depending on what, as you're saying, as your role is? Because at a certain, when you're, if it's grandchildren and they're young, you guide them to a certain degree. But when they're older, or they're, somebody's 35, and you can suggest and then leave it to their discretion without the...
When somebody is 35, he's your grandson, not grandchild. Leave him alone.
That's what I'm saying. That it's, child is different from a adult, no?
Absolutely. Even children, I'm telling you, Shweta. If you keep on giving them lecture, they say, yeah, again, not again. No. They don't want to be there.
And sometimes they need to make their own mistakes also, after being told also sometimes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean like, there are certain times, you know, supposing they're going to put fire in, finger into the fire. You can't say, yeah, okay.
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Then you need to intervene. But first thing is, you set the principles. You live it. You live that and you see, especially with children, let me tell you, they love if you play with them. You understand? All the time coming and going on, giving instructions, nobody wants to do it. You join them, you play with them, you become close, you, then, you know, they want to be with you. At the same time, you should know that you are the adult there, and wherever need be, you should draw the line. And then they would love to be with you. At the same time, they will know, oh, okay, my mother will be strict with me when I do these things. You know. So then they will listen to you. Because you are also living that knowledge, and you are also, like Shakespeare says, be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. You should be familiar with kids. But don't become too close that the relationship is so vulgarly close that you are not respected. No. What happens in sometimes many places is you keep such a distance with your child, so the child doesn't come closer to you at all. Other is you are too close that the child loses respect for you. But that intelligent distance you got to maintain. And especially when you follow the principle, children will kind of, you know, listen to you. Otherwise, nobody will listen to you. Simply going on giving lecture. As I had, this fellow doesn't follow anything, he only gives lecture. Forget about it.
The intellect gets clouded mostly with your spouse.
Correct. There's a saying, I forget the saying now. It says,
I agree.
Action speaks louder than words. Action speaks louder than words. So they will be observing your actions, not your words.
True.
Any other questions? Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणाय समर्पयामि। हरि ओम।